It walks, it talks, it terrorizes. It's Stanislavski's Wild at Julian Fry's. Ziz.
This is The Bi-Coastal Actor, a podcast about being an actor in Los Angeles or Atlanta. I'm Jeff Holbrook, and with me this week and every week is Ben Austin. I'm in Atlanta, and Ben is in L.A. This show is created by Polar Studios, and you can find more shows just like this one at polarpodcasts.com. Benjamin, they can find more shows like this one, but not without the sultry, dulcet tones of your bearded voice, my friend.
Even my voice is bearded.
So we gotta get this one out because we got places to go, things to do, and I am drinking a crappy cup of coffee right now.
Out of a stylish mug, though. That's an Iron Man, classic Iron Man.
It is.
What is that? That's nice.
Let's do a little bit of follow up, a little bit of catch up. If you can, in a nut, give me what's been going on with you this week that has advocated or moved your acting career forward, if you care to talk about it.
Of course. A few things, actually. Of course, and I'm just going to keep harping on this, you got to take care of your personal life, otherwise your professional life will unravel, is my opinion. So I've been doing that with the J-O-B, and I've been doing that with the social life and trying to balance those things and, you know, sleep. I'm getting back into an exercise routine, resolutions and all that, getting back on a diet plan that's going to allow me to recover from any and eliminate any sort of illnesses so I can be ready to go at all times. Basically, I'm turning myself into the ultimate actor.
It walks, it talks, it terrorizes. It's Stanislavski's Wild at Julian Fry's. Ziz.
Snap into a tofu Slim Jim.
Ah. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Go veganism. So anyway, so that's one thing I've been doing. Another thing I've been doing is I am in a play, and I've been, you know, going to rehearsals and practicing my craft in that way, which is fantastic. You know, meeting new people, doing new things, saying new words, new to me at least. And it's nice to sort of dust off the live theater suit and put that back on because it's been a little while. And, you know, it really contrasts the difference between the two mediums, live versus recorded acting, actorizing, actinating.
Well, you know, my days as a wrestler taught me that film acting and stage acting, you know, it's like my wrestling coach said, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other is gold, brother.
And make sure you wash your leotards.
My wrestling coach was also a pirate.
Oh, you went to the same pirate wrestling school I did. I see. It's very nice.
Sure did.
On my side of things, I've had a couple of auditions. I had a couple of voiceover auditions and a second audition for a different role for a TV show that I had to sign a bunch of paperwork about, so whatever. But I auditioned for a TV thing, which was cool.
You have been smoking hot this season, I have to say. You've been working consistently. It both challenges me in a good way and makes me feel like I need to get on it about booking some stuff. But as we've talked about before, you know, it's sort of a different market here, and it's much more saturated with talent. So I try to gauge that and say, okay, listen, there's probably like 50,000 guys that look just like me. So, you know, I'm cutting through all of that and trying to distinguish myself as a specific person, Ben Austin.
There's three people here, Benjamin, that look like me, and I'm going to kill them all. Slowly. Slowly. No, not really. But there are fewer people.
I love the fact that if they are listening to this, they now know that you're coming for them. They know who they are, and they know you're coming for them.
Oh, they know who they are. They knew who they are. I'll see you on Twitter, future corpses. So... Oh, my brain went away.
We're talking about some follow-up today.
We were. We were talking about all kinds of follow-up. Wow.
We're going to follow up, I think we'll follow up today on last week's podcast with something that I like to do to sort of memorize, to quickly memorize. And this is something I picked up from a friend of mine in Atlanta, actually, and I brought it over here. And I think he actually maybe have picked it up out here in L.A. from his days in L.A. So this is just back and forth and back and forth. And it's a 10 times read. So you get your script, your audition script, and you read it out loud, every single word, yes, every single word, even direction, 10 times. Don't try to act it. Don't try to like get in there and make it, you know, I'm going to do both of these parts. No, just read the words 10 times straight through out loud. 10 times, read all the words out loud. And the brain is an amazing thing. It memorizes on its own. You don't have to work that hard. So just trust the process and do that. And your memory and your understanding of that particular bit of copy is going to be ridiculously thorough by the time that you're done. Sure, the first couple of times you may not really pay much attention, but by the time you get to the 10th, you're suddenly reading things and going, oh, you know, I didn't notice that on the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, but the 9th and the 10th, I really know what all of these words mean, which is really the point. You need to know what they mean, because then you've got the sense of the scene, you've got the meaning of the scene, and memorization is going to come as sort of a side effect. And it also won't be as important for those auditions and for those like commercial and theatrical interviews. Now, let it be known that I think that memorizing all of the lines, the way that they're written, is important for the final product. And if you can do that for an audition, then that's fantastic. But also don't sweat it so much that you can't memorize the first word, right? So that's my little tidbit, my little tip on auditioning and how to memorize.
So you're saying that you should get all worked up into a frenzy and try to over-emote and do that 10 times in hysterics.
If you are blonde, about 5'9", and athletically built and have a darker colored beard than your hair, and you live in L.A., and you are auditioning with me, yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know what that means, but I like everything about that means, it. Some things I don't. I'm a little concerned.
If you're at my audition, yes, please, over-emote.
Oh,
do me the
please
favor.
Shoot yourself in the foot.
No, don't do that. No, it's crazy. What are you trying to do to yourself? You're going to work yourself up into a frenzy, and then you'll suck. That's when you'll suck. If you're worried about sucking, don't do that.
Just like everything else, relax, and it will come. Relax. Don't do it. When you want to go to it, relax.
Relax.
Don't do it. So I remember the thing I was going to follow up on a second ago before we get to our main topic for today. And all I was going to say was last week, I believe it was last week, we talked about setting yourself up for success as far as being ready to go on auditions, having your headshots ready, having your mind right, having other stressors out of the way so that when you get those auditions, because you never know when they're coming, you are ready. And sometimes making some risky or difficult choices. And I have a job that has a reasonable. I have a job that has more flexibility than most jobs as far as my day job goes. But still, it's always something of a moral question to me whether or not I can go in at a certain time because of an audition or whatever. And there have been several times where I've leaned too far to, you know, I need to go into work instead of devoting the time that I needed to do a good audition, and I've had to pass where I've had to turn down auditions or where I've just missed them because I didn't plan my energy right for how much effort I have to put into work and then go home and make sure I can get the audition done and everything else. So I had a recent audition, and I just decided, this is very important to me, so I'm going to leave work significantly early so that I have enough time to just properly prepare for it and be ready and do a good job. And for me, that was an important mental shift to remind me what is the most important and to not let the day job take over the thing I want to do, which is acting, even though I like my day job, but I, you know, need the money. But I don't want to become scared that I need the money.
I did the same thing today in preparation, actually, for this podcast. I could have spent another 30 minutes at the day job doing like tying up some loose ends and getting ready for tomorrow. And then I had to ask myself, and this is really what I've had to do in every single thing that I do throughout the day. I had to ask myself, Do I need to do this right now? Am I going to be able to do my job, my day job, the job that I'm working on right now, tomorrow, if I stop it right now? And if the answer is yes, I will be able to do my day job tomorrow if I stop it right where it is right now. Then I have to ask myself another question. This is me all day long just talking to myself. People walk around me. They don't come near me. Then I have to ask myself, will I be able to do the next job, the next item on my list of things to do, fully and completely, and tie up all of its loose ends in the time I've allotted for it? Will I be able to be prepared for that and get that job done, so that then I can go on to the third job of the day and the fourth job and so on and so forth? So instead of like dragging out the job, the day job, or even the podcast job or the play job or the working on getting my resume updated, my photos done, doing all my actor maintenance business, or the social life, you know, because you have to calculate for that as well, rather than drag that out and maybe create this backup of jobs that need to get done, why don't I just say, I can put a pin in this, I can get back to this tomorrow, and it's not going to damage anything, and move on and be totally focused and totally present for the next thing that you have to do? Because if you're working on the last job and the next job while you're doing the current job, well, you've just screwed up three jobs, right? Instead of, you know, getting each one of them right within their allotted time. So that's just that's something that I've found that I need to do. And it sounds like you're doing the same thing. It's like saying, okay, right now I need to give my focus to this other thing. The job I'm working on now can wait.
Right. It comes down to what can you do well, not how much can you do, but how much stuff can you do and do a good job at it. And, you know, you have the pathological multitaskers who their self-worth, it seems like, is tied to how much am I doing at once? How much can I take on? And look at me suffer. And it's like, well, yeah, but how much of this are you doing well? And I say this as a recovering one of those. Like, you know, I used to feel like that if I wasn't dog tired doing stuff all the time, that I was somewhat worthless, you know? I have a slightly kind of musician family because of my uncle, but growing up as an actor and a performer, it always felt like if you weren't touring, you weren't really working. So the year that we did the tour, I was like, oh, thank God, I finally, because I was on the job 24 hours a day, right? It's like, oh, yeah, this is, I'm working, you know, like nonstop. I'm always in the job, right? That's probably a little sick and a little screwed up. And I'm out of that now, and I'm happy to be out of that now. But what can you do well? It's why we do seasons of the podcasts, not to get too into, you know, how you make the sausage, but it's why next episode is our last episode of the season. We're going to come back, but we're going to do 6 episodes that we think are good, take a little break, and then come back, because I want both of us to be charged up to be able to do it well and to be able to get all the other stuff that we need to do in our lives done well, and for all those things to have the attention that they deserve.
Right.
So, speaking of attention, we should put our attention on our topic, because this is a shorter episode. Our topic is a little bit of follow-up today, but it's about auditions again. But it's specifically about how you and I keep up with auditions, how we do it differently, because we're people that I think base ourselves in different areas of our personality. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who does what, how.
Yes, and I already have my assumptions about who does what, how, based on some conversations we've had in the past. And let me just say, going into this, it's my job right now to be honest as an actor, to be honest about what my process is and not judge myself for it. You know, I think that that's important for any artist to do, because if you judge yourself, you're usually holding yourself up to an external standard. And while that may be important in some aspects, when it comes to your process, you kind of have to, you have to look at what works for you, not what works for somebody else.
And you can't do your process for someone else. And this was a big flaw of mine. Yeah. And it'll become pretty evident when I get into how I do things. You can't create this system so that someone will hopefully come look at your over your shoulder at your system and think, what a great system, when you realize how much of the stuff you're doing is extra unnecessary work. So as I've matured over the years, I've tried to get rid of as much of the work as I feel is unnecessary as possible, while keeping enough of my system so that I can feel like I'm on top of things and that I have an understanding of what's going on. And so that bigger picture, over 5 or 10 years, I can see how the dots connect, right?
Yeah. And the one thing that I think is important is that you're producing. If at the end of the day, you are someone who produces, you produce whatever that product is, then your process becomes validated right there. That's you getting to say, well, I produce, so what's the problem?
Right. And you can get too fiddly about it. You know, you can get too into, you know, how I make the stuff and what I do with the things and not do shit. And that's where I go too far on the other side of it. Sounds like I should go first. Is that fine with you?
I think that's great. Go for it.
Okay, cool. I'll go first. A couple of things. Everything I do is about learning as much as possible all the time. So to figure out some of the stuff I needed to know to become an actor, anything I didn't know, I would read every book I freaking could, and I would engage online back before social media as we think of it was a thing when I was a younger man. I would read the Atlanta Theater mailing list so that I could read the conversations that were going back and forth between people, knowing I'm not going to live in Atlanta for years, but just so that I can learn about the people, find out what they talk about, see what venues are talked about over and over again, what people are talked about over and over again. I do the same thing by listening to podcasts. There's a show I like called Inside Acting that's produced out of LA, actually. And that's been teaching me a lot about the life there and the geography and everything that I can learn. I like to learn. Anyway, that being said, I also do like to document and track things so that I have some sense of who I met when and everything else. I use this free web software called Trello. I really like it. And what it does is basically it's what you call a Kanban system, basically, from like this Japanese manufacturing efficiency thing. It was a system of cards that were on lists, and each card could move down the list as things were completed, right? You know, the car's got to be, this card has the car and it's got to be assembled, and then moves over and it gets painted, and then it moves over and it gets, you know, finished or whatever, and then it moves over and it gets sent out the door or whatever. So on Trello, I've got a whole bunch of cards, and the first card I've got, first list I've got is called auditions, and the cards that go on that list are automatically generated out of my email. So I've got a Gmail filter set up that whenever I get an email from my agent or a certain group of people associated with my agents that are typically auditions, automatically that email gets sent to Trello into my auditions list as its card. In that card is every attachment from the email, including the sides, the message, and whatever links are in there. And that's without me having to do anything, right? I set that up once, and then it runs. I don't ever pay attention to that, because I need to look at the email, get the auditions. I don't ever go into the auditions card, Trello board, because I don't need to. I need to go do the audition, right? What I do have, though, where the board does come into play are the series of next lists. So the very next list I've got is called Waiting On. If I went to an audition or I'm about to go or I've got a callback or if something is sort of in a decision phase where I'm waiting on somebody else, I put it in there. And that's kind of from the David Allen Getting Things Done system. It's a really awesome book if you haven't read it. I really recommend it. The next card, next list I've got is callbacks. So auditions that make it to callback, I throw into the callback list. The next list I've got is first refusal. So if the callback turns to, hey, it's a first refusal, then I move it there. If I book it, then I have a list for current bookings. And that's the one I like to see fill up as much as I can. So anything that I'm working on right now, I can open that card up. And that card is very much alive. So in current bookings, I'll keep my contracts that I get. I'll take pictures of the contracts that day. I'll keep a list of, you know, the people that I got to talk to, kind of general experience, what I thought of the place, and thoughts about the job and stuff like that. I sort of keep all on the current bookings list. Also maps, directions, everything I need so that I'm not searching my email for all this stuff. Where's this? Where's this? Where's this? Where's this? I know where it is. I put it in bookings. I go, I look at it. Everything I need is right there. Okay. And then the last thing, of course, is booked. So anything that I've booked goes in the list. And that's different than bookings. This is stuff I've already booked that is finished and it's in the list and it's done. Beyond that, I know this is crazy. Beyond that, I've got all the stuff that I didn't book, categorized by film. I got a list for film, TV, commercials, voiceover, industrials, so on and so on, so that I sort of know what projects I got to audition for, because along the way on that card, I took notes. Who did I meet? What were they like? Did I like it? And all of these, one more crazy step, have color labels attached to them. And each color means something different. One color means, you know, it was a taped audition. One color means it was an in-person audition. One color means, hey, you need to do this. It's really important. Another one means you got called back, so on and so on and so on. And that lets me know how often do I book from a tape versus how often do I book from being there in person. And that's become very important for me to figure out. So that's sort of an overview of what I do. And I try not to get too fiddly about it, except for I like to have everything in one place so that I know where it is on the day of the job. It's something I can do from my phone. The auditions list populates automatically without me having to get in there and make it do something, if that makes sense. So that's kind of what I do.
Great. I don't do anything like that at all. that's not entirely true. I have my system of organization. The thing is, I'm much more analog than you are, Jeff. I am much more like, I've got notes written on pieces of paper, as well as on my phone and my notes app, and as well as, you know, emails that I actually send to myself. And I don't keep as much track of all of my auditions as you do. Now, the reason is I am a perfectionist. I can be a perfectionist, but when I get into that perfectionist mode, that's when I don't get things done because I can't make a decision about anything. And I know this about myself, and I used to beat myself up over it. I used to tell myself I need to be more like this person or that person and be more organized and have folders for everything and have those folders within folders and labels on those folders. And I could organize until I die, and it would be very satisfying for me because it satisfies a personal need of mine to do puzzles and games and make all of the things fit. But that doesn't get my job done for me. What gets my job done for me, and I find this in every aspect of my life, is putting on my shoes and my pants and my shirt and my jacket and going out and doing things. That is what gets me producing. And, you know, like I said, I used to beat myself up over it, until I realized I have measurable success when I do this. I don't have measurable success when I sit at a desk or when I spend too much time with files and folders and organizing things. So I've had to cut off my level of organization, my amount of time spent doing that, and spend more time going places, doing things, calling people, being in person. That is what works for me. That's my strength. I used to say, and I still think that this is true. I don't think it's true. It's freaking true. If I get the interview and I want the job, I'll get the job. And that sounds cocky, and I know it does, but it works. It just works. That's what works for me. If I can get in that room and I really want that job, I'll get the job. Now, I'm not saying every audition that's the case. Auditions are different. But an interview, a job interview, if I've gone through it, if I've set myself up for success and I get into that job interview, my experience has been, I want that job. I'm talking to the person in person. I'm going to get that job. I'd say my success rate with that is probably 85 to 90%. Now, auditions are different. Auditions, you're working with much bigger numbers. So, and things outside of the validity of your resume come into play. So I don't apply that thinking to auditions. Here's how I apply it to auditions. My job at an audition is not to go in and book that job. Now, I know that any agent that listens to this, any manager that listens to this, is probably going to freak the you-know-what out and say, well, I'll never work with that guy. And I'm fine with that, because if that's your mentality, then you're looking for a different kind of actor. You're looking for the kind of actor who's just going to do as many commercials for you as possible and get you your commission. I say there's a place in between. I'm not looking for as many as possible. I'm looking for the ones that are right for me and the ones that I'm right for, so that I can build that resume on success after success after success until I am working at my highest potential. So what I think my job is when I go into an audition is to make an impression on that casting director, on that director, on that producer. Here's a guy I want to see again. Because here's the thing, if they want to see me again, they will make it so that they see me again and again and again until there is that job that's right for me. And then they'll give me that one. And then they'll have a great experience working with me on set. And then they're going to write something specifically for me because they want to keep working for me. And they want me to keep working for them. That's I'm looking at developing relationships with the people, not so much just booking that gig. So to that end, what I do when I get an audition, here's where we are. It's very similar, Jeff. I look up where it is. I look up the casting director. I look up the production company. I try to glean as much information as I can in a very short period of time so that I know who I'm dealing with. I do my homework. I do my research so I know what I'm going into. Then I integrate it and I forget about it. Because that's what I've been taught to do on stage. That's what I've been taught to do on set, is do your research, do your homework, integrate it, make it part of you and part of your performance and part of what you're, part of you, part of your performance, part of what you're going to do. And then stop thinking about it, because your job is to actually go in and be in the moment and be thinking real time about what's happening in the room. So I do my homework, I do my research, I even make files. There are many files on my computer that I have not looked at since booking or since auditioning, because you know I didn't book that job. Now, if it comes up, because I'm really good at remembering names, I have that going for me, so I don't have to write it all down. I don't have to do a complex system of filing. If I see a name I recognize, I go, oh yeah, that was from that commercial or that audition, and this is how I worked with that person. Okay, great. I go back and I find that and I look it up again. If I've forgotten any information, and like I said before, my memory is pretty good, so I don't really have to worry about forgetting those details. Then I do my research again. I figure out how am I going to work with this person this time. It's just that. It's refreshing my memory on the relationship. Here's the follow-up. Find them, find the casting director, or find the producer, or find the director. Do your homework on them. See what they've been doing. See what they're up to. Take an interest in them. You want to know, like, what is the current project? But also, does this person like pit bulls? Does this person eat vegan food? If you can find that out, it gives you an insight into who the person is. I'm not saying spy on them. Don't do that. That's illegal. What I'm saying is, if you can get an idea of who this person is, you can actually go and have a real conversation with them. And that's, I think, more important in building a relationship than, you know, going in and showing them how impressive you are. It's not really about that.
Impossible to do. It's impossible to go in and show, look how amazing and impressive I am.
I don't know.
That's ridiculous. And that's...
I don't think it's impossible. I just think that it's kind of...
I think it's impossible to do it and be genuine and be an interesting person.
Right. I don't want to work with that person.
Yeah, that's, I think, what I'm saying.
If somebody's going to come in and it's all about them, generally I don't want to work with them. There are exceptions to that rule, which is why I say it's not impossible. It's not impossible because it happens all the time, but it happens all the time on a level where that name is going to get you something, some sort of recognition.
I think what you're saying is something that I've heard on another podcast that I mentioned earlier, Inside Acting, where the idea is book the room. Don't worry about booking the job. You know, be nice, be a human being, have a good time, and let everyone in the room also have a good time with you. And that is memorable, and that is positive. And that's something you have control over. You don't have control over if you book the job or not. But you do have control over, is this going to be a pleasant experience? Or as pleasant as possible, at least coming from me. Even if the room feels tense or different or not what you expected or hostile, you can still project, hey, let's all have a great time.
Yeah, you need to set yourself up for success in the future. Don't go into this stressing out so much that you make it miserable for you and for everybody else. If it's miserable for you, you're not going to want to do it again. If it's miserable for everybody else, they're not going to want you to come back. So, yeah.
I am so jealous of the fact that you can remember people's names. Boy, that sounds like I'm a terrible person. But I have a memory like a goldfish, and that's why I have to write everything down. Like, everything is continuously new to me. Everything
are you ready?
Are
you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I may not be ready. I don't know.
I think you're ready. I forgot.
Are we doing a podcast right now?
Jeff, you have headphones on. You're talking to a microphone. You're podcasting. Oh. You know what this feels like. It's in your muscle memory. Right.
Oh, okay.
Next time, just have that question happen inside of your head and not outside, and you'll be golden. So here's an exercise for you and for anybody else who has a hard time remembering people's names. The crucial point in remembering someone's name is the first 5 minutes in which you've met them. If you don't get it in that first 5 minutes, you're going to spend the next like week trying to get it. So in that first 5 minutes, make sure you take interest. Ask them what their name is if they haven't said it. If they've just said their name to you, you need to make an association. You need to look at a specific thing that is interesting to you about their face, and you need to repeat their name. You say, Jeff, how are you? It's nice to meet you. Great. Yeah, I love your hair, Jeff. That's really fantastic. Oh, yeah, no. And you have another comment. There's another sentence there, and they talk about their hair a little bit. And then you make sure that you say their name again, Jeff, and it's going to sound kind of dumb the first couple of times, but you're remembering their name. And there's this thing that happens when we hear our own names. It is a biological thing. It just happens. Endorphins and fun chemicals release in the brain when you hear your own name because it's familiar to you. It's referring to you. It's very much using our own biology to make a friend. If I say Jeff to you 3 times in a conversation, Jeff,
I will appear like Michael Keaton.
You're going to remember that the person that said your name 3 times is that guy Ben, right, Jeff? It just happens.
Are we doing a podcast right now? I don't know, Ben. I try. I swear. I try so hard. But like someone asked me what I did this weekend, and I blanked. I was like, "What day is it?" And it's like I could hear silence on audio tape before I could even remember what happened. So like, you know what I do is
that happens to me too. Interested. Don't worry. You're not the only one. That happens to everybody.
I'm interested. And like, I try to get to know, and I get to know like the people, like I could tell you all about, the people that I meet and like their life stories that they tell me while I'm there. And I can tell you all about that. And I remember everything about their face and everything, but like the names are so hard for me. So I say it over and over in my head or I do other tricks, but you know what, Ben, you know what I really do is I try to hold it in my brain long enough that I can sneak off somewhere and type it into my phone so that I freaking remember it. And that's why I have to write all this stuff down on this board. It's all that I can do.
And that is another step that you need to take. And you got to find the things that work for you. But I like to also see their name in writing. I've worked in some form of customer service for a long time in my job. And what I like to do when I'm meeting someone whose name I need to remember, whose name I want to remember, is I make sure that I say their name as much as I possibly can without being weird. And then I want to see it in writing. So I figure out some way to see their name in writing. If it's an interesting name, I have absolutely no shame in saying, "Wow, that's an interesting name. How do you spell it?" And if they start to spell it out loud, say, "I'm sorry. Could you write it down for me? I really want to know how you spell your name and how to say it correctly." I can't tell you, like, sure, that sounds kind of dumb, but you're making yourself vulnerable in front of someone. They're going to remember you, and you're going to remember their name. And so the next time they see you and you say, "Hey, what's up, Jeff?" They're going to go, "How did you remember my name?" Well, I also happen to remember that, you know, for example, when I was a waiter, I also happen to remember that this is what you ordered last time and this is probably what you're going to order this time and you like it done exactly this way. And they go, "Wow, that's amazing." And you get a big tip and they keep coming to your restaurant and asking for you. It's the same thing in your daily life, just Remember what they like. Take an interest in the other person. And then use these little tricks that work for you, these little devices that work for you, these exercises. Repeat the name. Write it down. Ask them to spell it. Ask them to say it. That's how you do those little mnemonic devices. The rest of it's just you taking interest in another human being.
You know, if you say my name two more times, the sandworms are going to come and get me. You know what I like to see written down, Ben? The numbers. Show me the figures in the contract, Benjamin. That's what I want to see.
Jeff? Jeff.
Yes.
Where are the sandworms?
They're right here. Because you know what? This had to be a short tips and tricks show because we got to go.
We do.
Because there's stuff to do and people got to do stuff.
We're both doing some very interesting things with our lives right now. And I'm very happy that we're both very busy.
I'm watching An Idiot Abroad. That's my interesting thing.
I'm going to rehearsal. I'm going to rehearsal for Almost Maine, which is a hilarious show. I'm really excited to be in it.
Awesome.
I'm going to tag it real quick. I'm just going to talk about that really, really fast. So we open February the 3rd. It's at Meta Theater in West Hollywood. And you can look on Brown Paper Bag for tickets, or you can go to Infinite Jest Theater. That's infinitejesttheater.com, I believe. Just Google it and it'll come up right. And I'll have all of that in front of me next time so that I can give you the absolute assured correct information. But in the meantime, if you Google Infinite Jest Almost Maine, you're going to find it because the internet is a beautiful and wonderful device.
It is. Speaking of the internet, if you would like to follow us on Twitter, I am at Jeff Holbrook. That's JeffHolbrook. And the lovely Mr. Benjamin is at BenAustin101. That's BenAustin101. If you like the show, please rate it on iTunes. And if you didn't like the show, then come on, go over to polarpodcast.com and find something that you do like before I slap your face. Benjamin?
Jeffrey, don't slap my face.
Slap my own face. Are we doing a podcast? We gotta go. I have been and always shall be your friend. Go live your life. Don't Vulcan finger me.
Death grip. Go.
All my grips are death grips.
All my grips are. I want to hear that when you get on set. All of my grips are death grips. My legion of death grips. My key death grip.
Let's stop tape. All right.
No, no, no!